Ahoy, ahoy, I'm Pavo.
And I'm Neil.
And welcome to That's No Moon.
It's a podcast.
Your weekly digest of all the Star Wars news you need to know if it's been released. Episode number 47.
Excuse me. Yes, absolutely. Episode 47. How time has flown.
Time has flown.
Don't take the mickey out of Mick.
Time has flown.
So let's kick this off then. So, the rumour mills have been going that Darth Vader may make a cameo appearance in Han Solo.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Didn't sound too keen on that. A few new reports have suggested that none other than Darth Vader will be making an appearance in the Han Solo spin-off. A few months ago, we reported a story from the site Fandom Fest that actor Spencer Wilding, we've met him, friend of the show. Was one of the two actors to portray Darth Vader in Rogue One, a Star Wars story. Had to cancel a convention appearance in Kentucky's Fandom Fest due to filming for Han Solo. At the time, they had the info that this was not true. And then, it goes on. I will then say it's not for... And now a new report has come from the hashtag show suggesting that Han Solo is indeed going to make a reappearance in... Darth Vader is going to make a reappearance in the Han Solo spin-off movie. My bad.
Right, so that was from Star Wars News Net.
It was. I will give kudos to Star Wars News Net for that story.
You do for that.
I will. So you don't seem impressed.
Well, it's as long as they don't share screen time.
Yeah, because they don't would have known who he was.
Well, yeah, he doesn't meet Han Solo. Darth Vader doesn't meet Han Solo until Empire Strikes Back. So it's not like I don't want Darth Vader.
It doesn't need to
popping in for any reason. There's no reason for it. So I don't want that. No, no. I don't want Darth Vader.
It's supposed to be the early Han Solo, isn't it? So,
well, it's not going to be that early. It's not.
Also, it doesn't. Like you said, there's no rhyme or reason to have him in there. We want him to see, you know, how we got the Millennium Falcon, the instance of Jabba the Hutt, and things like that. That's what we want to know about, the folklore from Han Solo that we've learnt from the original movies and things like that. We don't want to see somebody turn up that has no relevance to Han Solo.
I mean, look, the thing is, it's obvious that the Empire is going to be present in that time period.
Yeah.
So Vader will be around doing something, but I'm just a little bit worried that story-wise, it's not going to match up with what happens later on in the episodes. Yeah.
But also, with what you're saying is, of course they know the Empire's there, it's been around and everything like that, but he's a smuggler and he's underneath the radar, as it were. He's not going to be that bothered too much about the Empire. He's more worried about your gangsters, like your Jabbas and things like that. That's what I think they should concentrate on, that side of it.
Well, you say that, but the whole reason that Jabba the Hutt puts a price on his head is because he dumps a shipment of spice or whatever it was. Because he says, isn't it, like the first sign of an Imperial blockade or an Imperial starship. So obviously Han Solo is worried about the Empire.
All right, maybe I'm
so it's but what you don't want it to be is sort of like, Han Solo going, oh look, it's Darth Vader over there, or Darth Vader going, oh grab, get that smuggler, because
that'd be very good.
Also the fact that then that means you would assume that Lando Calrissian then has had some prior relationship, no matter how sort of faint, with Vader before meeting him on Bespin.
Yeah.
Which then opens up a whole other can of worms. That's the thing I'm just worried about. I'm just worried that they're going to put things in just because it's cool and to give it a little bit of fan service because the movie's been in trouble. To sort of go, oh, look, whistles and bells, look, oh, we got Darth Vader. And then not think about
but
the bigger picture.
You could also then argue that they should put a cameo in by Obi-Wan. Because he's on Tatooine hiding out. He might have bumped into him in the canteen.
Well, there's no...
You know, there's all that sort of...
But there's no saying they're going to be on Tatooine. And I'm sure there'll be other little small cameos of people that you might recognise.
But I would imagine they will be on Tatooine, though, won't they? Because that's where he seemed to hang out at the.
But he's a interstellar smuggler. He would.
Yeah, but he was quite comfortable in Mos Eisley, wasn't he? In the cantina, he was sat there with his foot up.
Well, yeah, but he was relaxed. Also at Maz Kanata's. Thing, and you know, she knew him. I'm sure those two places weren't the only places that he had his feet well and truly under the table with a dolly bird.
The other reason I think they'll go there is obviously Jabba the Hutt. If they do Jabba,
yeah,
Jabba,
yeah. But then again, I bet Jabba isn't the only gangster that he's worked for. I don't know. Yeah, but that's my only.
It just seems a bit, like you said, it would seem a bit tacked on.
I just don't want it to be fan service.
No.
Because as much as with Rogue One, he had more of a reason to be there, that scene would have, no matter how cool that was at the end, the Vader lightsaber scene was 100% fan service. Because it's what you've always wanted to see Vader do that.
You could tie that in quite nicely because he'd appeared already in the film. Do you know what I mean? He was part of the story anyway for Rogue One.
Yeah, but then the counter argument to that is they as if anyone's obviously seen Rogue One, it goes up to the moment that the ship with Princess Leia goes off.
Yeah.
So in theory, they start chasing it, and that's when Episode 4 starts. Well, in Episode 4, why isn't Vader killing Obi-Wan with a couple of strokes if he's kicking ass like that?
Because he's very more respectful.
No, but see that wasn't what it meant at the when you watched it. You're saying that now because of what's happened in a movie that was made 40 years later, yeah. Which is what you don't want it to be. Like you're saying, if Vader and Han Solo are there, then you're retconning things and saying, well, the reason that he was like that in Empire Strikes Back is because of this.
Yeah, but the thing is,
and that doesn't that doesn't work.
You're talking about the way Vader and.
They both looked like old Jedis.
Yeah.
So they can't spring around and kick ass like Vader did in Rogue One. Now, the skills that Vader had in Rogue One, you've got to say that it was only a matter of, at the most, say, a week.
He was spent, Pav. You know, he's an old man. It takes him a while when he's used that much energy. It takes him weeks. To regain.
I don't know.
There's no little blue tablet for the Force.
I don't know. But that's my
thing.
It didn't feel
so bad in Rogue One, but for him to bump into Han Solo and go, "Oh, you risky."
Well, yeah.
That seems a bit.
But
tactic.
No, if you watch Rogue One independently, no, it doesn't. But then if you think about the whole story and the fact that Rogue One finishes 10 minutes, say, after or
but
before.
We have that, also, we have that a lot with the prequels to the originals, isn't there?
In what way?
You know, I mean, they tried to sort of clear it, but the fact of, you know, the droids not being recognised and things like that.
Yeah, but then you could say, well, those are the spurious things that George Lucas didn't think about, no. Which he should have thought about when he wrote those
original,
prequels.
Yeah.
He should have found some way to be a bit more clever with that. What I'm saying here is that they're not that they don't. It doesn't look like they want to be clever about it. They want to just add the fan service and not sort of worry about it.
In Star Wars, we trust.
I'm having a moody bastard day, and it seems like I'm picking on Star Wars, and I'm not.
Don't you dare!
I'm just saying.
Right.
Anyway, hit us with the next story.
So is the new Star Wars The Last Jedi trailer finally going to
be released?
I don't
know. I mean, they're taking ages.
They have. Well, according to the Star Wars Twitter account, it may be soon.
Yeah.
Their tweet read almost like this. Hashtag The Last Jedi. Hang on. Right, let me read this tweet. The tweet read like this. Almost there. Hashtag The Last Jedi.
Right.
Now, this, of course, could be, is the film finished? Or anything like that, you know. But if you then add into Mark Hamill's tweet saying, watch Monday night's football on Monday the night, October the 9th for no reason in particular, it has led people to believe that that is when the new Star Wars trailer is going to drop.
Right, now if you look then at the further tweets, Mark Hamill, somebody retweeted the tweet and then put on the top of that, looks like Mark Hamill has just told everybody that the trailer is going to drop on October the 9th or whatever. Mark Hamill then replied to that tweet and said, "No, I never said that. I said it's just it's Minnesota Vikings versus Chicago Bears or something. It's just if you're a fan of that." And then he backtracked and started saying Disney will release it and will make an announcement when they're ready.
Yeah.
So he's backtracked on that and then put things like, you know, I've got to be careful what I tweet and all of this kind of stuff. So it does. I mean, it's possible it could be. It's possible that it could be that the movie is finished. Mm. When it was Force Awakens, I think they released a trailer during Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It's got to be soon.
It's got to be soon.
It's really been a long time. It's sort of weird how I mean, when did that first trailer drop now? Was it April?
I can't remember now. It must have been something like that. No, it was Star Wars Celebration, wasn't it?
Of course it was.
So that was
early.
It was May time, wasn't it?
Yeah, April May. Time. Yeah, April May. It was early, wasn't it?
So it's been far too long. And if you think that we've got Han Solo coming out in May, if they don't change it, which I thought they would, if they're going to change it, they would change it by now.
Mm.
And we still haven't had a trailer for that. And that is 6 months away.
Yeah.
It just seems weird that they're not doing it. They're not getting it out. Because I would have thought, now that you've had Force Friday and Star Wars toys are now out on the shelves, you just thought that they would have done it by now.
Well, it would have been quite nice. I would have thought they'd have dropped it when the toys came out, if they were going to wait a little
exactly.
bit longer.
Exactly.
Renewed interest again, wouldn't it? People that are not fans of Star Wars will, no doubt, almost forgotten.
Yeah. Or
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because they would have already been...
enjoy Star Wars.
I've spoken to people that still haven't got their head around the fact that there is a Star Wars film every year.
Mm.
So on my calendar at work, I've got a countdown from the day that it comes out backwards.
Yeah.
So it's like 83 days to go. And a guy at work today said, 83 days to what? And I said, the new Star Wars film coming out. He said, well, there's another one. So... You know, I mean, obviously people like us, you devour it, myself more than you, because you don't like the spoilers.
I try to be very careful.
It's you know, it's something that you sort of think about, glancing every day, thinking, oh, God, when are they going to do another trailer? For the average Joe cinema goer, or even not cinema goer, they're not going to know.
No.
And they're not going to... It's the same as this time last year. They all thought that BB-8 and Rey were going to turn up in the movie that was going to be out at Christmas when it was something completely different. I think a lot of them need to be trained about it. And that's another one of my problems is it seems like they're just maybe waiting a little bit too long. Maybe it's like you say, they think, well, the Star Wars fans are going to... They know what's going on. But I don't know.
Like I said last week, is it a knock-on effect from... You know, the two sackings that there have been over the course since when the first Last Jedi trailer has come out. Sackings, is that, or you know, separations between directors to Lucasfilm.
Well, I think, like I said the week before, that I think that maybe all of this has been going on in the background. So they've been just making sure that all that is out of the way and done. Maybe they're waiting for the movie to be finished and ready and it's all done before they release the next trailer. I don't know. I mean, it does feel like everything's sort of backing up and then all of a sudden it's just going to explode and it's just going to be non-stop TV spots, trailers, international trailers, and it'd be like almost like every day you look at your phone, there'll be a new video.
A new something.
Yeah, I just think, you know, it just seems that they're doing a lot of these silly little cartoon things
at the moment. Bob, we spoke about them before
I don't quite get it.
Right, next story. Fans have been petitioning Lucasfilm to fire J.J. Abrams from the Episode 9 film. So despite the success of The Force Awakens, one unhappy fan has started this position to remove him. He argues that Disney and Lucasfilm promised a new director for each episode and that Abrams just made The Force Awakens too similar to A New Hope. That removing him would be good for the Star Wars brand and avoid the risk of him ripping off The Return of the Jedi. And it's had, when I last looked, it's had a few thousand signatures on
it. Well, then they're all dicks, aren't they?
I was going to say, why would you do that? Somebody who's obviously a fanboy of Star Wars, who reinvented Star Wars, yes, it has the same beats as A New Hope, but became the third biggest grossing film of all time, has renewed the interest of Star Wars massively, and he has, single-handedly, and taken it back to its roots, away from the CGI, people have forgotten almost about the prequels. Why would you want to remove him? It's an idiot. It's bitch-slapping.
I don't understand. I mean, for a start, JJ was the perfect person to do The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And anybody that has listened or watched this show knows that I love The Force Awakens. There's something about the movie that is just magical. The fact that you're then... I mean, I can understand that people would say, well, they wanted Rian Johnson to do Episode 9. Nobody's seen Episode 8 yet.
No.
It could be a big crock of shit. We could all leave that cinema feeling the way that the majority of people did when they left Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Nobody knows yet. Do you know what I mean? Nobody... No. I mean, as much
all
as it's
had...
is
a teaser that showed us nothing.
And as much as it's had a bump-free filming process and all that sort of stuff, that's fine. But nobody has seen the movie yet. It could, I mean, it could be a rip-off of Empire Strikes Back. That whole thing about the rip-off of A New Hope, we've said before. You look at every rom-com, every buddy action movie, they've all got exactly the same beats. I can't hear anybody moaning and bitching saying that those movies are exactly the same. Every horror movie has pretty much the same beats.
Yeah.
So to level that at Star Wars, yes, things like Starkiller Base, they should have found something different to have used as...
But
as...
I think rather than it being just a rip-off, it was a homage.
Yeah, but then homage to me is a posh way of saying it's a rip-off. that's what this... You know what I mean? It's like, it's Latin for rip-off. But at the same time, I won't... There's nothing about The Force Awakens that I feel, apart from maybe the rafter scene, which could have been completely taken out... Apart from that, it's a near-perfect film for me. In my opinion, it's a near-perfect film. And if you want to have somebody that is going to... that knows the characters, that we know can make a good Star Wars film, that has all the sensibilities about everything that made Star Wars good in the first place...
And also has been involved on Episode 8. He's been there.
He's been there, yeah. He knows the characters. He knows how he wants to shape this particular trilogy... Why would you not want him to come back? Why would you get rid of someone like Colin Trevorrow, who apparently the rumour is that he was very difficult to work with?
Right.
It wasn't just the fact that they had a falling out, but his ego was very big and he was very hard to work with. That you got somebody that Kathleen Kennedy, yes, it is a safe pair of hands. Yes, it is like a Ron Howard appointment. But at the same time... I don't give a shit. I just want a good Star Wars movie.
But remember as well that JJ has come out and he is the massive Star Wars fan.
Yes.
So when he made the Star Trek movies, he did that because he wanted to do Star, you know, like a sci-fi. But if you watch a lot of the press videos, especially for Into Darkness and that, he is talking Star Wars.
Mm.
He talks Star Wars in the interview. So he... He loves it, and why not give it to somebody that loves it?
I mean, I've somebody starting a petition for that. Do something better with your time. Just don't
go and
waste
Star Trek.
Yeah, don't waste everybody's time. If you don't like JJ, that's fine. Don't go and see the movie. Do you know what I mean? Don't waste your time. If you don't want to see JJ do it, fine. But don't start a petition so that some guy, you know, to get some guy to lose their job.
Mm.
You know, as much as he may be a multi-millionaire, which is again by the by, and them say, I think I read somewhere that he said on there also that the reason that they've chosen JJ is it's a moneyed situation. Well, yeah, because the last movie that he made for these people made over $2 billion. So that they're a business.
Yeah.
They didn't spend nearly $5 billion or just over $4 billion on Lucasfilm. for the movies to make $40 million in the opening weekend.
No, exactly. And they're not going to be low-budget independent films, are they? That's not what this is
about. So, yes, it's a business sense, you know, but as a fan...
Not only have they bought Lucasfilm for those many billion dollars, they're also ploughing hundreds of millions of dollars into the making of each movie.
Exactly.
You know, these movies aren't coming in cheap. They're talking $100-200 million budgets for a movie.
Yeah, it just really... I don't understand. I don't understand how they keep these. There's always going to be people that moan about things.
Yeah,
that's fine. I've been moaning all night, but I just don't understand because it's just.
Well, let's
stupid.
See if we can find something to moan at here.
Oh, good. I'm sure we will.
Profiles in History.
Yeah. You know, Profiles in History.
Are set to auction mass belongings to the great Carrie Fisher and her mums as well.
All right.
Of the Star Wars memorabilia in the mix. Now, this includes an Empire Strikes Back script with Carrie's handwriting over it and notes on it from the movie, which is going to fetch in the region of $50,000. $50,000. Is that something you would like to buy?
Oh, yes.
So,
yes. I was looking at the thing on the website for this, and there is because she was also a script doctor for some of the prequels.
Yeah,
as well. She was a script doctor, but I think she had a little look at the scripts. But they were saying that they've got a New Hope, Empire and Jedi scripts.
Yeah.
I mean, Debbie Reynolds had been collecting costumes and props from movies before it was fashionable to do that.
So, yeah.
She had some of the most iconic items. So whether or not that she's getting that they're getting rid of that kind of stuff, I don't know. But now's the time to win the lottery. Could be able to go. I mean,
that would be.
I would be surprised if it would go.
That was
going
to lead me to my quick question for you. If you could buy one, if I was to say to you, here's all this money, you're allowed to buy one thing from the Star Wars universe for memorabilia. What would you want?
God. I think an original lightsaber would be really cool. I think one of the things that is just that one of the most amazing designs would be to have an original Han Solo in carbonite, I think. Mm. It's just something. But then I look at the design of X-Wings and TIE Fighters and Star Destroyers, and they all look, Millennium Falcon all looks cool. So
one of the original ones from The Empire Strikes Back, didn't they, at Planet Hollywood London?
Right, okay.
Han Solo and carbonite. Now, I don't know whether they were. I mean, it was advertised as with the plaque and behind the glass. So I've seen one. That would be cool. I always think just the full original Darth Vader out there would just be cool.
Yeah. There's so many cool things. And if you were a lottery winner.
But it was like, it also would be cool would be to have a nice collection of the models, the original models, like the Millennium Falcon and things like that would just look so cool, wouldn't it?
The one thing I would love to be able to go to the Lucasfilm archive and just have a walk, you know, spend a day just walking around.
Moochie.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Just to go and see Howard the Duck.
All of it. You know, the Staff of Ra and the Ark of the Covenant that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it would just be great. Apparently it is a great place to visit.
Yeah.
George, if you're listening, please send us an invite.
Yeah.
I'd love to come.
Thanks,
is
George.
Is it still his, or does Disney own that now?
No, I wouldn't have thought they own that, do they? I think
it's the Lucasfilm.
It's all at Skywalker Ranch, I think, isn't it?
That's where it was.
Yeah.
But if they bought it all,
sure they'll leave it there just to leave it there, wouldn't they?
But do they own it?
I don't know. Anyway. So there you go. That's it.
Well,
that's,
if you know whether Lucasfilm own all that, do please comment below. And when you do comment below, press the like button. I keep getting that wrong.
So that's it for a really happy episode 47.
Yeah, you grumpy bastard.
It's just one of those things, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of stories there that just really piss me off. And then the fact I haven't got enough money to spend money on Carrie Fisher's stuff, but there you go. Who has?
Bless you.
That's it. Next week, episode 48.
Is that your goodbye, is it?
So that's it. So come and check the website, pancast.co.uk, for all of our podcasts and things like that. And come and subscribe, hit the notification button.
So thank you very much for watching.
and listening. And may the Force be with you always.
Always.
Bye.
Bye.